Springfield Planning Commission for March 1st, 2016. I'd like everyone to stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to verify if there's any adjustments to the regular session agenda. All right. Any business from the audience not pertaining to our public hearing? All right, hearing none, I will open the public hearing for the legislative public hearing, draft land use regulation for marijuana business activities, including production, manufacturing, wholesale, and retail sales. And I'd ask for a staff report if possible.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, Jim Donovan for the Urban Planning Division of Development and Public Works. We have arrived at the public hearing and staff report. I will be brief with my comments. I will stand probably more than once to answer your questions, any questions from the public. This is not new material for you gentlemen. The AIS goes in some detail into the history of our work sessions, mapping all of the code language, and that is contained in my council briefing memorandum, which is attachment one. It cites the five basic areas of the code amendments that we have worked on. Attachment two is the actual code amendments, and they are highlighted in your packet and in your email. So everything is as we last discussed it. We will enter into the record a few minor amendments that we caught through legal review in preparation for tonight's hearing. I can go through those for the benefit of any of the commissioners that want. I believe the public tonight consists primarily of industry representatives, and they've all received notice, and I will at your discretion enter some of that. Mayor Pritchett.
I was drafting the motion for tonight, and I'll hand that up.
Okay, very good. I do want to call your attention before I move forward to just briefly summarize the findings document too, with regard to the three criteria of approval for these code edits. And that is, in answering a question recently from council, I did endeavor to map some of our industrial buffers that we had discussed, and we can circle back and I can go into that in somewhat more detail. We have provided you, I believe, 11 by 17 of two versions of the map, and I can tell you how many properties, generally speaking, are available. And again, I'll circle back to that in a moment with your approval. Let me just say into the record at this point that attachment three is 10 pages of findings in compliance with the procedures for public notice, the metro plan, and I will call your attention only to three findings on page 4 of 10, and that is pointing out that the goals are policy statements, and the policy is then enforced or implemented by the implementation code, that being the Springfield Development Code, to which we are making amendments tonight. So that is by design with the metro plan. There is one other finding that states that we are not going into the granular level of development when addressing the metro plan. That's what the code amendments does. And then finally, One in particular, finding the zoning process shall be monitored and adjusted to meet current urban land use demands through the planning period for all land use categories. That is accomplished primarily in two ways, and that's through our land use inventories, having available land, and through, again, the implementation ordinance to which we are making amendments this evening. That would satisfy the criteria, number one in general for the metro plan. The second criteria of approval for the amendments to the metro plan that the council, yourselves and the council will make recommendation and decision on is compliance with state statutes. And I don't think at this point, I need to remind the commission or bore you with the recounting of the ballot initiative, the ensuing House bills and OARs. So suffice to say that this will satisfy our responsibility under state statutes to implement these state licensed businesses. And lastly, I think in light of prior to criteria, you could expect that the 19 goals have been addressed, and our final conclusion is that the package that you have created with staff and industry help satisfies those three criteria of approval. So we still have two housekeeping, if you will, issues, and one is our amendments, and then the other is if you're desiring, we could talk a little bit about the maps that we have provided this evening, as we'll discuss with council as well. So Mr. Mon, if you're ready, or I will go into it.
Yes, I am. I'll be as brief as I can. If you'd, your attachment two is a copy of the proposed text. If you can either scroll to that document, or if you have a paper copy, open it up to the first page. And actually, it's the second page. So what we did was corrected typographical errors, two principal ones. The first being that the reference to retail outlets, we had a number of different terms that we used, and so we consolidated that into one. So if it's selling recreational marijuana, it's a marijuana retail outlet, and it's capitalized, MRO. And that appears probably 10 or 12 times throughout, and I can identify the pages, the page numbers where we made those corrections. So that was like twofold, the change, capitalization and the proper sequence of the term. So it's always marijuana retail. The other, and so I'll get to the pages for that. We made another change with respect to identifying a business. If it says marijuana business, then it's anything except a marijuana retail outlet. It's everything else. So it's anything that the Oregon Health Authority has approved, or anything that the OLCC has approved. We wanted to make sure that you understood, or that the code has the distinction, because it is an important one. Because an activity can be the exclusive province and jurisdiction of one of those two state agencies. And if it's an approval that's granted by the OHA, we say that. If it's an approval granted by the OLCC, we also say that. And it's abbreviated that way, so it's either OHA or OLCC. We deleted, well, let me go through pages so that you know where these changes are. On page two, the schedule of use categories, it says laboratory testing facility. We've deleted that for two reasons, primary reasons. Number one, it doesn't appear in other sections of the code where you would expect it, since you've identified it here initially. And number two, it's a facility that's approved by the OLCC under one of the licenses they offer, and it's the license for processing. So if you receive a license for processing from the OLCC, you can have a laboratory. You can have other things too. So we've just said, just left it a processing facility. And that's the other term that's in that particular section. So that covers laboratory. There's no need to have it, so we've deleted it. Also, the marijuana retail outlet is correct here on this page on both, yep. On both spots. On page 4, section 4.7177A, it says retail marijuana outlets, and it's in the combination of upper and lower case, and it should be marijuana retail outlets, all in uppercase. So we made that change. Did it again on page 5 under B, where it says marijuana retail outlets. It's in lowercase, so I made it in uppercase. 3B3, same thing. It says retail marijuana outlet, and as you know, it's marijuana retail outlet, and it's all, and it's capitalized. On page 6, again, 4, it says retail marijuana outlet. That's incorrect. Marijuana retail outlet, not capitalized. Same thing under 5C. Interestingly enough, in the same line, it says marijuana retail outlet, and it says marijuana retail outlet in lowercase, so it should be uppercase. Page 7, there were no mistakes. Page 8, it was clear. Page 9, here. Page 10, under marijuana business, that definition means any person or entity appropriately licensed by the Oregon Health Authority or the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. I wanted to point that out because the reference, you may see marijuana business used as a term. And that covers a variety of activities other than the retail outlet. So virtually everything else, that term can be used interchangeably for production, processing, wholesaling. It's another way to refer to that. The marijuana grow site, just draw your attention to the fact that that's an activity that's registered by the OHA, not the OLCC. The OLCC refers to grow sites as production, as opposed to grow. Might be a supercilious distinction they're making, but it's one that's there. So just draw your attention to that change, to that little relationship between the definition and the approval authority. The marijuana retail outlet means a business. So forth, obviously retail outlet should be uppercase. But we also conclude that sentence after the word patient. So it means a business location that sells marijuana items to a consumer or a patient. It's not necessary to refer to the standards or to subsection 4.7-177. We haven't done that for other definitions. And for consistency's sake, we're eliminating that from the definition. You have to refer to 4.7-177 for all of the specifics about the differences for the different standards depending upon what use you're seeking. And that's it, unless somebody finds one that got by me. And there may well be a marijuana retail outlet that's not capitalized somewhere in here. Start to get cross-eyed after a while. So those were the changes we made to that. We're entering into the record tonight because the city council has a work session scheduled next Monday night on this topic. And we may or may not have information to provide them about what happened here tonight. But at the very least, we'll explain to them that their copy of the proposed SDC amendments were perfected at the Planning Commission public hearing by my reading those changes into the record. So you guys are talking about the same thing that they'll be talking about next Monday night and then subsequently at their public hearings on the 21st of March. And hopefully you'll have made a decision by then.
No questions at this point. I'll direct your attention to attachment to page 7 of 11. And since I prepared the map and the data and we have forwarded you the electronic version of the map, I have a large copy on the board, and I can work with that physically to point out any relationships that you can't capture on your screen. But I did want to make you aware of what we had found through a couple of our mapping exercises for council. And if you look at production facilities, we're talking about grow operations at this point. You'll recall your four license types. Production is grow. We have the two tiers that we've discussed in both indoor and outdoor. And numbers 1 through 4 identify that an indoor at 5,000 square feet will have a 1 acre property and a 500 foot setback from any residential district. Number 2 is the larger of the two indoor, and it moves to 5 acre property and 1,000 foot setback as discussed, as are all of these. 3, I would just remind you, is a 5 acre minimum for the up to 1/2 acre of outdoor grow, and that's the 1,000 foot buffer. And for the tier 2 outdoor, which is up to approximately 1 acre of grow, we're at 10 acre minimum lot size and 1,000 minimum setback from a residential district. Having mapped both of these graphically, I guess I would just point your attention to a couple of different buffers and colorations that may be just a little bit hard to train the eye on. And that is, the dark purple is our heavy industrial. And that's what we were highlighting here, is the availability of grow sites at both sizes. And you can see from the legend that we have put the 1,000 foot buffer as contained in your code this evening for those sites. And with regard to that dark purple color, you will see it basically in mid Springfield, around Adams Platt and the mill sites. You will see it in southwest Springfield, Booth Kelly area, the mill and the industrial complexes in that neighborhood. And you will see some special heavy industrial denoted as a permitted area per our code package in the far southeast of Springfield. What may be a little bit harder to pick up is the light purple buffering boundary that you can see infringing around the edges of those industrial sites. And that is, again, on one map, it is your 1,000-foot buffer. What you see in the sort of fluorescent pink property lines are the properties at least 5 acres in size that would meet the criteria in whole or in part, both the acreage sizes, 5 and 10 acre for outdoor, and 1 acre and 5 acres for indoor. The part that I have on my spreadsheet that if you don't have in front of you, we will provide a copy, is that at the 1,000 foot buffer from residential, we have approximately 18 properties that are technically viable, and not all of those subject to ownership, current use, other factors would be 100% viable for application. So I wanted you to be aware that the 1,000-foot buffer creates 18 sites approximately, and they wouldn't all necessarily, for the factors I cited, be available for state license and application by the current code package. The other map endeavors to go one step further in looking at the number of available sites, because 18 is not a big number. However, it is by our code, heavy industrial and special heavy industrial, the only available zones for the production of raw materials. If you recall, we looked at the definition of heavy and light and medium industrial. And if we're creating raw product to go into the processing and wholesaling and retail cycle, that's our two zones that we're limited to. If you can switch to your other map that is identified in the legend by having a 500-foot residential buffer, all of the previously noted information is the same with the exception of that buffer, and it moves the number of available properties up to 30 properties. And I guess my same caveat would apply, that that doesn't mean there would be necessarily 30 properties available for licensing. That's part of the development process. That would be up to people making license and application to sort out those sizes, ownership, availability, whether or not it's in current use, and whether or not it has open space for outdoor or warehouse space for indoor. Again, the numbers at this point are somewhat limited by our available zoning types. I did want to make you aware of the numbers that we were talking about. We may have testimony this evening from the public with regard to those limitations. Staff will try to provide assistance in recalling what we went through in work sessions as needed on those zoning designations. The other producing sites, you'll notice that there is one, you'll recall that production of extracts that has some chemical procedures, we want it somewhat protected. That can go into light medium industrial. There are more light medium industrial zone properties that does, in that one instance though, have a 500-foot residential setback as well. There may be more mapping before this is over, but I felt like this illustrated the point for your consideration as making recommendation to the City Council. And that would be the end of my housekeeping work on the zoning package. I will suffice to say that the package before you, you are making a recommendation to City Council. You certainly, by the chair and your own volition, can forward it as submitted in accordance with the drafted order of recommendation to City Council. You could Webster instruct staff to make some changes now. You could ask us to compile your list of recommended points that you would like council to give further consideration, and we can do it that way and forward the package to city council. We will certainly summarize all of the public testimony tonight. We have a one-week turnaround before council's work session next week. We won't have verbatim minutes prepared yet, but we've worked with the industry thus far, and we're certainly capable of understanding their testimony, and I feel like we will provide a good summary of what we will hear tonight for council consideration. You also, again, I think council could walk you through any variations of those three options that you might deem necessary. So I won't go into that. I only play a lawyer at the front counter on occasion. So I think that concludes staff's presentation. You're not here to hear staff unless I'm answering your questions. I will stand down for a public comment and the remainder of the public hearing. Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
Have these have been entered into public record, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Any information? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next on it would be testimony in support of the proposal. And looks like we have one, and that's Casey Houlihan. When you come up, just state your name and your address.
Good evening. My name is Casey Houlihan. My address is 4016 Southeast Boise Street, Portland, Oregon. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Retailers of Cannabis Association. We're a nonprofit trade association with businesses statewide, predominantly on the retail side of the cannabis industry. Several of our members are the retailers in the city of Springfield, so we prepared our comments today in regards to their experiences and their feedback as far as this particular proposal is concerned. We've been working for some time now with some folks with the city to make sure that our concerns have been expressed fully. I believe we sent electronic copies of our testimony to the members of the Planning Commission earlier today, so I won't necessarily read this in full since you do have a copy of this already. But just to summarize, we are generally very favorable or supportive of the proposal that you guys have put together. It certainly addresses our largest concern that we saw coming down the road when we see how this industry can be developed, and certainly in the transition from the Oregon Health Authority to the Liquor Control Commission licensure. As you know, the state did not include the 1,000-foot buffer zone between medical shops and recreational shops, which would have allowed them to open up in between one another as well. We did not want to see the lines on the map redrawn, so to speak, after some years of seeing these things coalesce. A lot of other cities, to avoid these problems of having the number of dispensaries in their city double, decided to keep those buffer zones moving forward, so there are less opportunities to, say, double the number of stores that could be present in the town. We feel that the proposal here, by the language that you put together, addressing both types of outlets is the same. We think that that does an adequate job of preserving that buffer. We think that that allows the businesses that have been here for some years to continue doing what they're doing without necessarily expecting a lot of competition from money, largely out-of-state interests that are able to come in and set up a much larger business and burn through their resources as they put the local business out of commission. We've seen this happen in a lot of other places. It's something that we'd like to prevent here if that's at all possible. As I mentioned, generally we're very in favor of the larger set of proposals in here. Some of our concerns, however, and we would urge you to act on this before you send this proposal along to council, would be to expand some of the allowable zoning types for the production side. What we've seen here is obviously a pretty dramatic limitation on the number of places that could be used for production and processing. And chief among our concerns would be that many existing producers licensed through the Oregon Health Authority now, who may not be fully aware of the way that the changes will be playing out throughout this year, will find themselves at the end of the year in a situation where they can no longer keep doing what they've been doing. We'd like to see the council and the commission obviously come up with a set of proposals that will allow what folks in Springfield are doing now to continue to operate in that sense. We'd ask that you include some types of commercial zoning that do seem like they could be commingled with that type of use where appropriate, and to grandfather in the existing growers that are already operating as either an independent grower or as a proto business, and to allow them to continue in that capacity. Some of the other concerns that we had in the proposal specific to the retail businesses, one that I wanted to make a point to bring up was there's a requirement in there about off-site removal of the waste marijuana materials that either fall on the floor or otherwise need to be disposed of. And it was preventing specifically these remnants from being thrown away within the normal trash and requiring a separate procedure for removing from the site. This is not a problem that we've experienced anywhere in the state, to my knowledge, with any of our retail businesses. We have not seen anybody going into dumpsters to obtain, refuse marijuana. What we would instead suggest would be maybe some language that creates a procedure where retailers are required to make the product unusable before putting it in the trash, the same way we would regulate any other prescription medications or controlled substances where they're required to be made unusable before being thrown away. We think that would prevent the cost that would otherwise be put on the retail businesses while accomplishing the same public safety goal. The only other thing we wanted to make it a point to mention was this proposal also includes a prohibition on co-locating different types of marijuana businesses at the same address. And we would also like to urge council and the commission to consider including an allowance for co-located uses at the same address, so long as adequate separations between the facilities exist. For instance, if a person is making extracts as well as edibles, probably don't want to see the butane extractor next to the commercial kitchen, so if the wall or what have you to separate those. These are reasonable regulations that we know can work. Other communities have pursued them as well. We'd like to see Springfield follow suit if that's at all possible. With that, again, I'd like to reiterate that we are largely supportive of the package overall. We do think that it does accomplish most of the goals that we have and addresses most of the concerns that our members experienced. And with that, we'll happy to take any questions from the members of the commission about our experiences. Thank you very much.
Do we have any testimony opposed to the proposal? Which I don't have any cards, so that'd be a no. And then testimony and neither support nor opposed. I think we have one, right? It looks like it's Nicholas Salisbury. Did I get the name right?
Yes, Nicholas Salisbury, 496 Alexander Loop, Eugene, Oregon. I'm the owner of Meg's Marijuana, a medical marijuana dispensary here in Springfield, Oregon. I'm currently participating in the early retail sales that started back in October 1st from Senate Bill 460. First off, I want to take the time to thank you for listening to our thoughts and considering what we have to put before you. My business has been operating for about 2 years now. We've continually followed every applicable law. We actually, when we added on a retail space, actually an extra 2,500 square foot, we were able to talk with Jim here about the best way to get that done. We actually had to do about a $28,000 permit to the city of Springfield so that we'd be able to handle the necessary transportation costs that would be involved with this new retail proposal that's going on. Since January 4th of this year, we've actually collected approximately $20,000 in tax revenue from cannabis sales to use for adult from cannabis sales to adult use consumers. Money that will go toward K-12 education funding, local law enforcement drug treatment programs, and youth drug abuse prevention and education programs. So for my business over the last year, one of the biggest concerns actually was being regulated out of existence, and that was something that we've been worried about. And I'd like to say that this proposal I strongly support with how shows that businesses will not be forced to relocate if a existing school were to move in. That was something that we were worried about. We talked once again with Jim and made sure that we were up to city code with all of our building inspections and different things like that. I'd like to say that we strongly support that. I generally support the rest of the code amendments. Something that Casey actually had brought up in his previous one was something about the waste management procedures here. We also have not had any issues here in the city of Springfield with anybody going through our trash to try to steal any sort of material. Right now it's currently locked as part of our procedure. That would be something that we'd like to see change if at all possible. I also feel that actually, I'm sorry, that's all I have for you. Do you have any questions for me?
Thanks, anybody? No? Thank you. All right, now we're to questions from the commission. Commissioner James.
Jim, can you point out where in the code, proposed code amendment, we deal with a waste issue?
Certainly. If you recall, we have two basic amendment areas of the code, and one is the use tables, and then under 4.7, after the use tables, we have an area of general development standards, and I believe we are at the bottom of attachment 2, page 6 of 11, under number C, additional MRO regulations, marijuana retail outlet shall provide, number 3, provide for secure disposal of marijuana remnants or byproducts which shall not be placed within the business exterior refuse containers. And I believe consistent with City of Bend, we did look at several other, you know, in our exercise of looking at other jurisdictions. I don't believe we found it in other states. I don't think at the time we were looking at other states we were down to this level. But when we looked at additional standards in the state, I believe this came out of a Bend package as a idea that staff caught and recommended. The reason, generally speaking, in all development is that the reason we have screened, covered, contained, and occasionally locked by the private business dumpster locations is several fold. Number one, we have those for aesthetics. We have them to protect groundwater. We have them to keep trash where trash should be. And the reason that they get locked, generally speaking, is quote unquote recyclers that do their work in the middle of the night and other reasons. So we have seen that kind of go both ways. We were looking because of the attractive nature of this that we might expect some of that activity to migrate. We may not have a large problem here, but we're talking about development standards for all of our subsequent future uses. So it is a bit of a prognostication into the future, but that's why it is there.
Regarding this listing that we've been presented with, does this represent parcels that are potential sites for industrial
companies? Yeah, ownership? Commissioner, you know, the one thing that the large map does provide at a glance is we do not have a great deal of heavy industrial as a percentage of the overall acreage inside our city limits or the urban growth boundary. So I just want to point out that the buffers that we've established, we're considering olfactory impacts primarily, and we were using large lot sizes such that you could get your grow operation and all of the attending facilities that might go with something on the order of, say, a 1 acre outdoor grow site. Also, not having to control where on that lot this might site or be constructed or is already located. We, to a certain degree, can't control that. That is another reason why we have a 1,000 foot buffer from the property lines in addition to the olfactory. So, in answering your question, Commissioner, the 100 foot residential buffer is what leads to the 18 sites that meet the minimum size criterias, and it goes up in acreage from there, but I think it's fair to say that as you go up in acreage, you will have fewer sites that meet, say, that 10-acre minimum. So it's kind of a sliding scale. And that 18 number moves to 30 if you reduce the buffer down to 500 square feet, or 500 lineal feet, excuse me.
Thank you.
If I may, did we, just because I don't remember, did we talk about ways to make the product, waste product, unusable as a viable option?
No, Commissioner, I don't think it ever came up, frankly. I think it's a good thing to think about and consider, and staff, you know, can offer a couple of thoughts if you'd like. I mean, first of all, perhaps a disposal site that renders that unusable certainly fits into our current standards for groundwater protection. I think what little I know of it, sometimes you can use coffee. There are ways that this is done with pharmaceutical drug disposal, and there are ways to do it that are environmentally friendly, and so that would, of course, also meet our needs as to contain, control, cover. You certainly could require that it have a locked dumpster facility in addition to rendering it unusable. So staff is not vehement about the current proposal. If you so choose, I think you could either point to that as a recommendation for City Council to consider and save, perhaps trying to rework the wording in our 6-day turnaround for the next work session. But we will certainly take your direction in either scenario. We can try to rework it, or we can take it to council, get their ideas on it, and then prior to the actual public hearing and adoption on the 21st, we could rework it if council directs us. So again, I defer to the chair and you, gentlemen.
Commissioner James?
Oh, sorry, we're at this first. I have a number of questions. I do appreciate the answer that you gave to me earlier on some of them, but I still had a couple of questions regarding street classifications for retail. That apparently it's written that there can only be access off of arterials or collector streets, and I'm not sure that that might not preclude streets that are really used normally for business access, like, say, for instance, Cruise Way in the Gateway area or Postal Way in that area. There, I don't think either any of those are collectors or arterials. And I think there could be other streets that are like that, that there's a large amount of business access done on streets like these. But so to me, it would be cutting off legitimate business use in an entire area because of the street classification was one question. And the next one I had was regarding the 5-foot setbacks from parks. I believe when we had our work session that we discussed 250 feet, and we were presented with, I believe, some anecdotal information from the chief of police regarding safety of retail sites that he did not seem to say, and I think other communities have found that there's not an increased danger of, for instance, gun activity around retail sites. So I'm not sure why we decided on the 500-foot buffer, and I really think that the Cole memorandum just does nothing more than, it's another part that shows the federal antipathy towards marijuana that we're seeing in legalized states like Colorado and Washington and Oregon. And I don't see how the park setback, increasing the park setback beyond 250 feet, does anything more than just restrict what I think is illegal business activity.
Commissioner Counselor, I just wanted to be sure you were waiting for my response. On the first issue, that being collector arterial streets, I do not see it on our list of specific development standards for the commercial activities. We can clarify that as well before we go to work session. I believe our intent there was to address large vehicle traffic, and it's a standard industrial approach where you know, we try to not direct traffic down local streets of any size, significant size. And I think most of our industrial land is going to be found along, you know, Main Street, Industrial Avenue, ironically, commercial, etc.
So I was mistaken in that the retail is not prohibited.
I believe A through C in 4.7177 identify the additional standards where a retail marijuana outlet, and presumably this is one that we caught, an MRO, shall be, as stated at the bottom of attachment 2, page 4 of 11, and it says subject to A. And I stand corrected. Under A, for retail, number 3, we have collector arterial. I think that was an attempt at being consistent by staff in looking at our documents. I certainly can report, and I think staff can support as well, the idea that that should probably be limited to the industrial areas, and then council can consider in industrial areas whether or not that is still appropriate.
Yes, my objection was regarding retail.
Okay.
Which I just, with my thinking of, is treating retail very differently amongst properties on a non-arterial or collector's.
No, point taken, Commissioner, on the type of traffic, levels of traffic. I think in our findings for state statutes and also goals that we find that we don't anticipate unusual or unsustainable levels of traffic, and I think that's a good point to add to our list. And again, depending on how you gentlemen would rather we make these changes or we forward them to council as points of your recommendation for their consideration, we can do that either way. And Commissioner, if your second point was the 500-foot setback on the parks.
Yes, as opposed to the 250.
Okay. And forgive me, I don't have all of my notes from all of our work sessions at my fingertips, but I can certainly look up the issue from memory. I believe we had started a discussion with the land lane at 1,000 feet, similar to schools. We had talked to industry representatives who thought something along the lines of 250 was probably adequate. Staff recommended that the 500-foot mark would be somewhat of a mathematical compromise, but probably more importantly, give one level of protection if council wants to address landlords' needs. What I think we also found from looking at maps is most of the park facilities are going to be covered by the residential prohibitions. We are not licensing any of the four licenses activities from the state in the residential districts. And parks generally being surrounded by single family and other residential districts should be fairly protected. You'll remember that figuring into our discussion about the 50-foot setback for retail, and that would preclude an MRO in the immediate property of one of the residents. So it is a bit of a compromise, but if there are any parks that are not covered for a distance of 500 feet, that is why it is in there, is to cover, you know, that instance. Again, we have our existing parks, we have future parks, we have the parks planned for Mulama Lane. Whether you may or may not find an aha moment on the existing map, it is a level of protection for future parks as well. And coincidentally, I will be attending a work session with the Mulama Lane board and staff and outlining the current proposal, providing the maps, you know, as we've previously discussed, but since we're moving through the adoption process, I'll be making my appearance to Mulama Lane next week, and we should be able to provide that information to council prior to adoption, just basically confirming and getting something on letterhead from staff, confirming our discussions thus far. My pleasure.
Commissioner James, do you have something?
Well, I just, in regard to the park setback, I would just like to first of all state I am a member of the Mulama Lane Park and Recreation District Board of Directors, an elected official. I serve in that capacity, for the record. There's no potential conflict of interest here at all, and I feel I can express my opinion in this situation as a community member. You know, my general feeling is that the impact on the 500-foot setback, you know, one of the things that we talked about was having a discussion with the executive director of Mulama Lane Park and Recreation District, Bob Kiefer, and having some discussion from a professional standpoint of what his interpretation with his staff were around these setback limitations. I don't know that information came back to the Planning Commission. I think it is notable that it was initially a 1,000-foot setback, and we had discussed a reduction or kind of a center point that we could land on. So at this stage, until I think we hear more from Park District staff, and ultimately it's going to be a public hearing it's our recommendation to the City Council. And I know it's a City Council decision, and I think my general feeling is some setback for parks is appropriate. We certainly don't want to eliminate those retail outlet spaces. Looking at your maps, it doesn't look very limiting with park spaces because they're mostly in residential areas, as you indicated, Jim. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with voicing the issue, presenting staff's findings and this information as it's presented, and then receiving additional feedback from the park staff and the superintendent, and really what their concerns or issues might be specific to this. And having that discussion and ultimate decision by the City Council. So.
Noted for my discussion with Mulama Lane staff next week. Thank you, Commissioner.
Any other questions?
I do have an additional question. One of the issues that I heard was currently, sounds to me as if there is some grow processes going on in or adjacent to some of the retail sales. Is that true? Or I guess this question would be for I just like some clarity on the co-locating issue and you know, is this about, you know, is this issue about wanting to be able to grow and produce at the same location with some separation that you could sell? Or is this, you know, totally separate from that? And I have that question as it's discussed in the letter from our
Casey.
Yes, Casey. So, we've talked about the commercial side of this, and I think you were very clear, Jim. In production is really in this city is really for, it's zoned commercial. It's for that type of commercial use. And I just wanted to be clear on, you know, what the question was, whether there was a question about being able to actually grow in an adjacent to a facility that you could also sell.
First of all, I think I said in an email earlier, I'd like to thank Mr. Houlihan and Casey, if I may. We've had a lot of very good, informative, constructive discussions. I took two thoughts away from the testimony this evening and the letter. There are two things. One is co-location. And as I noted earlier in our discussion about production being grow operation, that's a heavy industrial use according to the Springfield Development Code. Similarly, processing is an industrial use. At this point, given the separation standards for retail uses and the suggested separation standards from residential districts, it may be hard, if not impossible, to physically do that co-location and meet all of our buffers. I think we also discussed that directing retail traffic to accessory uses that might include sales in the industrial zones was not a good concept, and that is memorialized in the code amendments, where we will not have accessory sales uses. I think from this planner's perspective, we're on fairly solid ground in separating the uses and protecting everyone involved from grow operations to sales to some of the extraction and other processing uses. So I guess I would politely disagree with my colleague, if you will, in researching retail marijuana on that point. And then the other issue that I heard was, while our legally created, which is important, non-conforming use standards are designed to protect our existing registered dispensary uses. We do not have any registered grow operations in the commercial or other districts under the OHA program. You have to recall that the OHA authorizes individuals to have medical cards. It authorizes and registers growers for the purposes of growing for those cardholders. And then those registered growers are allowed to sell their surplus to the dispensaries. And I believe either presently or upon licensing, they will be able to sell to the licensed recreational. So my takeaway from that is there aren't any permitted registered commercial grow operations that are going to be affected and become legally created non-conforming use status. That is a basic premise, I believe, of the law and zoning principle, and it extends to the Springfield Development Code. So we'll be starting anew with the licensing process and procedures from the state and doing development review and trying to meet these standards with these new members of our business community.
All right, summation from the staff.
Quick quickly, before you go to summation, I just want to address one more item. Commissioner Cuella had emailed Jim some questions today, and I think you had two of them addressed. One of them wasn't addressed, and I just want to make sure the commission was aware, and that's the question about Glenwood, no retail facilities in Glenwood. And Jim, if you just want to speak to that quickly, and then I think we have it all on the record here about what his questions were.
Certainly. Thank you, Council. The question of retail outlets in Glenwood is the same as our mixed-use commercial and other mixed-use districts across the city, and that is we have residential use. Some mixed use is primarily residential mixed use. Other is commercial mixed use, which allows co-location of residences. We're looking at ideally, especially in Glenwood, vertical construction. We're looking at high-rise. We're looking at some services for those businesses and residences. It's a limited subset overall because we're trying not to draw all commercial uses out of downtown and other commercial districts. So at the beginning point, it is a somewhat refined subset. And then if you add some of our standard concerns, be they olfactory, security, storage, other things, I think we landed pretty solidly in precluding all mixed-use districts from siting new retail or other facilities. So if Commissioner needs more information or clarification.
I'm satisfied with your answer.
Thank you, Commissioner. Back to summation. I guess staff is ready to perhaps have a discussion with council with regard to the recommendation and order procedure, because staff can fully support either the individual amendment approach or putting all of your recommendations down specifically in an attachment to council's packet for their consideration and your advisement, and going with a somewhat modified order as opposed to what's in your packet this evening. I'd like to thank council or commission for all of your work in work sessions, discussions, shoulder to shoulder around physical maps, in addition to all of our electronic information, your patience, and again, I'd like to thank our business community and the new business owners for their participation. So that is staff's summation.
Thank you. Is there any consideration of a request for continuation of the public hearing, extension of the written record, or both? I will now close the public hearing. And we'll have a discussion of the proposal to council.
Also, there's the issue of the record.
Oh.
Yeah. Whether you want to keep the record open or close as well. I think that might kind of depend on what your discussion is here, so just so you know.
I'll move that we close the public record and the public hearing.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. With a motion from Mr. Moe and a second from Commissioner James, we'll close the public record.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, yeah.
If I could offer a suggestion. It's been a while since you guys considered code amendments, and particularly generating new things. So it's not as if, you know, this is currently in your wheelhouse. It will be shortly, because we have a whole bunch of code amendments piling up, and we'll be doing this all year long. But for now, you heard some testimony tonight, largely in favor, but you heard specific elements of this proposal, heard opposition to that. And I think, just in consideration of the testimony you heard, if you could consider the items that the person raised in objection, and if you'd like to pursue some kind of amendment in those sections or have those sections go forward to the city council. I would say this is sort of analogous to your findings, and even though some of the requirements in the findings seem ridiculous, like goal three and, or goal four, you still need to address it. You can't simply ignore it. And usually when an issue is raised, if that issue then becomes an issue under appeal, your case with respect to whether or not you have addressed that issue, clearly if you don't address these things, you haven't addressed that. And if they made that an issue under an appeal, we would have to generate some sort of a position for you on that, because you haven't expressed a position. So this doesn't mean that you need to formally vote, but if you could have a discussion about the items and just sort of take temperature about where your position lies, it may be that you want to make that an amendment to what's going on, or you just want to forward it as is.
Should I close the
point of order? There's a motion on the floor, second to the motion.
Voted.
We have not voted.
All those in favor of closing the written record?
And the public
record, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those in opposed?
No. I think we need to do exactly what Mr. Mott said, which is to discuss the different parts that we've objected to and make recommendations to staff.
Well, we can still do that.
We can
still
do
post closing public record.
Yeah.
And, okay.
You're fine.
That will still happen.
I think that's part of the question. When we close the record, what is happening? You know,
sure.
What's happening?
So when you close the record in the public hearing, that means you're not going to receive any more testimony this evening upon which to make your recommendation.
Exactly.
But now that this part is closed, now you get to get into your discussion about
exactly.
What you want to do.
Now we do.
And so that's where you have the three options of, do we recommend as is, or do we recommend with modifications, or asking to look at waste for retail, park boundary, park buffers, and that's the third one.
Yeah.
Or if you just say, no, we don't want to recommend this package at all. And then remember, there will be another, I would imagine there's another hearing at the city council level, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There'll be a work session at city council.
There's a work session next Monday night.
And then there's a public hearing on the 20th.
Is there a public
first.
21st.
And
yeah.
Depending upon how that goes, they can, they're scheduled for second reading and action on April 4th, but they did extend the hearing of the record to April 4th and then make a decision on the 18th.
So there'll be another opportunity for stakeholders to come in, put something into the record before that decision maker.
Okay, so that being said, one thing that speaks loudly to me based on the testimony we heard tonight was this issue of the making the waste unusable, and so I personally would support staff looking at an option in alignment with that. Something that would, I don't know that we need to change what you said, but it's an either. Either you keep it inside, or if you're going to dispose of it, that it's disposed and it's made unusable and potentially in a locked exterior container or something of that nature. Something that's not onerous to the business folks, but is in alignment with what they do with disposal of other drug-related type things. That happens. And so it seems reasonable to me and supportive of the business community for us to take a look at that. So that would be something that I would support.
Yes, Commissioner, I agree. I think putting an undue burden on a business to do something we don't expect other businesses to do, that would be incorrect. But I think there needs to be some language regarding what happens to it. So I think striking it out entirely would be not the correct thing to do, but I know that Nedco locks their dumpsters, so I think there should be language regarding it in here, one way or another. I think that with the general support for the overall plan, I don't see any reason not to move forward with the overall plan, but I would like to state that I think as a planning commission we should ask the council to address some sort of language regarding that. that it doesn't have to be this, but I would like to see some language in there regarding waste.
And just to follow up, I don't necessarily, at this juncture, feel it's necessary to revise what's been presented, but rather I would make a recommendation that staff look at options to address this and bring forward, rather than us proposing language tonight. All right, that would be my those were the two options that you discussed, weren't they, Greg? Yes.
With one point of clarification, if I may, would that be for further review or to include that with the council packet, making them aware of the proposal or the recommendation from Planning Commission?
Yeah, I would include it in the council packet. I mean, that would work. I would, but it's up to the will of the commission.
Belt and suspenders, then, will probably put some track changes with the additional language into the actual code language, and I will write some narrative and findings as necessary to put it into the staff report for council as well. So we'll do it both ways.
Okay.
Perfect. Mr. Landon?
The other two things that came up were, and I'll be honest, it seems to me that when we looked at the difference between 250 and 500, it was pretty tight, almost, you know, maybe that's worth just looking at, making sure that we're going to look at that, you know, and then the road issue that Mr. James brought up, you know, put some verbiage in there and look at that, revise that, maybe. But actually, that was in relation to the road.
Is that for retail facilities being
Yes, retail facilities. Was
it's attachment 2, page 5 of 11, okay. Item 3. I'd suggest striking that.
For limited to retail, Commissioner, if I understood you correctly.
Yes, right. That's for retail.
That's the only spot it's at.
Okay.
It says retail marijuana outlet shall be.
Right.
Strike number 3.
We'll get it.
What page is that on?
Page 5 of 11. Item 3 at the top.
If somebody wants to use that, but it has three options here: to recommend the amendments to the Springfield Development Code for marijuana business activities. I think in this circumstance it would be recommend with modifications relating to trash. Sounds like park buffers. You're looking for more discussion on park buffers, or no? We need, and also retail facilities needing to be located on collector or arterials. You want that struck. And I think that if you do this motion, that should be clear enough.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you normally do this one, if you guys designate someone to do a motion, but here it is, if anybody wants it.
Mm-hmm. Vice Chair, or should I
go for it?
You can read my writing. No, no, no.
Okay, we're going to with number 3, correct?
Yes, number 3.
All right, I guess at this point I'd entertain that motion.
All right. I move that the Springfield Planning Commission recommend with modifications relating to this. City Council adopt the amendments to the Springfield Development Code for marijuana business activities, including production, manufacturing, wholesaling, and retail sales. And
that would be relating to trash, park buffers, and
retail facilities by collector and arterials.
We have a second.
Second.
With a motion by Commissioner Vos and a second by Commissioner Moe, at this point we would have everyone in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, motion passes. point, we go on to any reports from council. Hearing none. Any business from the planning commission? Upcoming meetings, assignments, or appointments?
I think Greg has an item.
Greg does.
Oh, yes, I do. It's the CDAC. Planning commission representative, it's a commission vote. So it just, are you interested in maintaining that role for the planning commission?
Yes.
Okay. Then, unless there's some reason for, if you'd like to discuss that role, then Mr. Bose will remain as the CDAC, PC member of the CDAC. And so that's the Community Development Advisory Committee, if you don't know that. And they hear requests to spend community development block grant money and home money and forward a recommendation on to the city council and the budget committee for their action. And they do this every year, probably starting pretty soon, right?
Well, we've already had one meeting.
Already had one meeting, yeah, that's real soon. And conclude in May.
Well, it's up in the air because there's been so many changes in staff and in regulations that there's a lot of tentative meeting dates, but nothing's really firm at this point.
Thanks. So, we're good.
Any business from the development and public works director?
Nothing.
All right. At this point, we're going to adjourn this regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission. Thank you.
Good work, everybody.
Yeah, I got a little.
Yeah.